turn to Philippians chapter 3. I would like to start in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was just a few verses about Paul's assessment of his own life and his conclusion about his experience, about his new life, about what happened to him on the road to Damascus, about his being born again, about his different perspective now. What I've got on my mind is not only Paul's perspective, but his goal. His whole goal about his life. Paul, you know, it seemed like every one of the songs today was about the struggles of life and the glory of God. You know, out in the cold world, away from God, no signs of where man's feet have trod. With broken heart, I tried to pray that God would take my sins away. You know, that is the human experience. And even the scripture that Brother George brought. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That was Paul's account of who he was and what he felt to be after he had been born again, after his experience, after the law of the Spirit of life came to him that shed light on his sinfulness, where before he thought he was a perfect and just man. Here in Philippians, he thought, this is his declaration of that, I was alive without the law once. This is it. He says, I was born the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, of the stock of Israel, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law blameless. You know, that's a long pedigree, isn't it? And it's a good resume. But it won't do you no good in the middle of the night when your heart's sick, will it? It won't do you any good when your sins begin to bother you. It won't do you any good to say, you know, I followed God back then and I did all that good stuff back there and I was strong in the Lord one time when you falter and fail. It won't do you any good. Your past, things like that, won't justify what you've done. Or they won't justify the trouble that you're having now. Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the human condition, isn't it? That's the problem that we all face. Is the condition, at least of God's people, the human condition as far as all of creation, they're all sinners. And all fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. But the struggle only is in God's people. The ones that are born again of the Spirit. Right? They're the only ones that have the struggle. That have the opposition. Paul says that my whole thing, all of my life that I trusted in, that I counted on, all the things that I could boast in myself, I count them but dung that I may win Christ. And you know what that means for me today, what that means for you and I today is that all the things that we can boast in that we've done, we've got to count them but dung that we may win Christ. And I think that is in a very real sense, it's not talking about that you may earn your way to heaven or that you may win that, but it's talking about that you might grab a hold of what's got a hold of you. That's what Paul says, if that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. That means that all that means is that Christ had got a hold of Paul and Paul wanted to grab a hold of Christ. And so he says, all these things, I count them but dung that I may win Christ. Just imagine for a minute a person that is out there that does boast in themselves, that does boast in their past achievements in their walk with Christ. Imagine the person that thinks that they got it all together and they boast in that. Do you think they're winning Christ at that moment? Do you think their boasting is in Christ at that moment? I will tell you no. That person is not winning Christ. That person has not won Christ. As long as we boast in whatever we've done, we cannot win Christ. He says, I lost it all, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Not only that, and be found in Him. Not so that Christ would take notice of him, but that others would see Paul in Christ's way and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. You see, it comes up again. It's a constant theme in the Scriptures, in the whole Bible, from beginning to end. Those that trust in themselves and their own strength fail. Those that trust in God win. Those that trust in Christ are victorious. Those that have faith are victorious. Those that trust in themselves and try to boast in themselves always fall. They always fall. And they lose. What was it Christ said? He said, if a man, and it's a tenet of the kingdom, if any man would... he said, he that loseth his life shall find it, and he that findeth his life shall lose it. It's a paradox of Christianity. If you're out there seeking to gain things in your own life and seeking to find all that, then you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for the sake of Christ, and you count not your life dear unto yourself, but as a servant of God, then you'll find it and have great blessings. It's a tenet of the kingdom, and it's not, it's exact opposite of the way that we would think it would be. Paul says, I'm not having, you're not going to win Christ if you have your own righteousness. And trust in your own righteousness. We try to attribute that to the Jews of back of that day, don't we? We try to say, oh, that's for other people that trust in the law. You know what? We're no different than that. We can trust in the things that we've accomplished in our life just like they did. We can be in the same boat and trust in... I've been ordained of men to be a preacher. And that covers me. No, it don't. Just like being a faithful church member don't cover you. It didn't cover Paul. He said, He admitted freely. He said, brethren, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul says, I haven't attained to this. Now I want you to think about the things that the Apostle Paul had to recover from. The struggles that he had in his own mind, Brother George. You remember that it was the Apostle Paul, before he was called of God, was the one that was consenting to the death of people that are doing the same thing that we're doing today. He not only did it as a job, but he sought letters from the rulers to go and find people, to actively seek out people that called on the name of Christ, to hail them, which means to bind them and to put them in prison. And he even consented to the death of Stephen, didn't he? You talk about a brother that had some problems in his mind. Can you think about your past sins, your past things that you have to deal with, and are they as bad as what Paul did? Are they as bad as what Saul did? Have you been placing Christians in prison? Not physically. I pray you haven't done it mentally, or socially, or personally. You know, we can do that. We can be so legalistic in our way of looking at things that we almost put other people in prison by our actions and by our thoughts and what we say. I pray that I haven't done that. But in a very real sense, the Apostle Paul had a lot of things that he had to get over. And I don't know that he ever really got over. You know, he talks about the thorn in his flesh. You can say what you want about that, and there's many ideas about it. You know, my opinion is that Paul's thorn in the flesh was his constant reminder that in his own mind, that he persecuted the church of God and that he killed Stephen and probably others, or had them to be put to death. Can you imagine what that would be if you went to preach somewhere and somebody was constant, and they did to Paul, was constantly bringing up your past? It's bad enough when somebody else does it and brings it to our mind, but it's really bad when we struggle with that in our own mind, isn't it? When we have a hard time letting it go. It's hard. So, what do you do? What do you do when you got those things in your mind and you can't let them go? Have y'all ever been there? I mean, I've been there. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. Come on, guys. Have y'all ever been there? Have y'all ever struggled with something that you've done in the past so bad and you couldn't seem to get over it? I talk with my friends on the phone and they confide in me and they tell me about these things, and I know it by my own experience. What is a follower of Christ to do when you can't seem to get over it? Paul says, look, he freely admits to this church at Philippi. He says, not as though I had already attained. Paul says, I haven't attained there. Either we're already perfect. He said, I haven't reached my goal. But I follow after, meaning I chase. You get it? I follow after, meaning there's a leader and I'm following on that leader, on that path. I'm pursuing that. I follow after. I'm chasing it. If that I may apprehend, grab a hold, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know, what does the law do to criminals? It apprehends them, doesn't it? And when they're apprehended, that means they're caught, they're bound, they're laid a hold of. Paul says, I just want to grab a hold of what's got a hold of me. And then he makes another statement. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I haven't attained there. I am not already perfect. I haven't already apprehended it. I count not myself to have grabbed a hold of that thing. A lot of people say they want to experience God. Have y'all ever heard anybody say that? Have y'all ever said that yourself? That I just want to experience God. And Paul says, I do too. Paul says, I want to really know Him. I want to really know about the power of the resurrection of the dead. I want to attain unto that. And Paul says, I haven't got it yet. I haven't fully experienced what it is like to know Christ the way that I want to know Him. He says, I haven't gotten there yet, but I follow after, if that, and he says, if that I may apprehend that for which I'm apprehended of. And he says, but I count not myself to have gotten or arrived at that goal yet. So what are we to do if we haven't reached the goal? I think that many of God's people, if not all or most, get so discouraged. I've been discouraged, maybe for different reasons than you have, but I know you've been discouraged. I just know that because you're a child of God. And you live in a sinful body. I know you're discouraged. Or have been. And I think we get discouraged because what is the goal? Paul said, I haven't gotten to the goal. What is the goal? He said in other places that we may grow up unto the measure of the stature of Christ. That's a big, lofty goal, isn't it? Isn't that what we're supposed to be reaching for in this life? To be more like Christ? Ultimately, to be like Him? Unto the measure of a perfect man, Paul says in another place. He says, I haven't reached it yet. And this is the Apostle Paul now. The one who was caught up into the third heaven and saw visions and revelations and all those things. Yeah, he saw the risen Savior. And he said, I haven't attained to it. He said, I haven't grabbed Him yet. I don't have all that knowledge. So I tell you that I think that when people make mistakes in their lives, they have a hard time with dealing with it because they see the overwhelming goal as unattainable. The goal is to be like Christ. Does that make any sense? I can illustrate it this way. And I hope, son, you don't get bored with this, because I talked about this, used this example last week. But she and I have lost a lot of weight. I've lost about 75. And when I first started, my overall goal was to be like I was now. But that was almost the weight that I am now. And that was almost unattainable in my mind because I thought, man, that's a lot. So I had to start out with smaller things. I had to start out with a smaller goal and say, okay, I just got to get this first 10. I just got to get going. I got to get to first 10. And even in doing that, I like to eat, so I cheated some. And the mindset of cheating on your eating is that, because we're all humans, unless you have the willpower of iron, which I do in a lot of things because I'm stubborn, but I love eating now. And the mindset is, when I do this and I cheat, it's almost like, okay, well, I've already messed up. I might as well go on and eat what I want to all day long. Isn't that right? Well, y'all do that when you diet. I know most everybody is probably dieted in here. That's kind of the mindset. I've already messed up. I might as well go on and enjoy the rest of the day and eat whatever I want because I've already messed up. And I'm going to hit it hard tomorrow. Then tomorrow comes and it's hard. Because you've, in your mind, see, Brother George, in your mind, you're like, it just gets you, man, why did I do that? Why did I eat them 5 pieces of chocolate cake? You know, I'm going to admit to you, I did that a couple weeks ago. I ate 5 pieces of chocolate cake in one sitting. It's my favorite cake in the world, I got to say. And I did that, and that was like, well, and you know that it bothered me. I thought, why did I do that? Because I felt bad all the next day. Why did I do that? Is not sin the same way in our lives when we do it? When it's finished, we say, why did I do that? Why in the world did I do that? I'm so stupid. So where do we go? And this is the point. This is the point that where people have a hard time in their walk with Christ because they can't do this next thing. They get so overwhelmed at their struggles and inability that they get paralyzed in their walk with Christ. is a lot of people that I know, that I talk to, that are in this situation. I'm not going to call any names, but it's almost like they feel so bad about their past that they can't, that they're paralyzed. They just can't move. They can't go forward in their walk with Christ because they feel so convicted about what they were. Just like the Apostle Paul. To this point, he says, I want to know him, but I haven't reached it. So what's the remedy? Paul says, what do you do after you cheat on eating cake, you know, 5 pieces of cake a day? What do you do when they're losing weight? What do you do when you sin and they bother you? What do you do? Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. One thing. And he lumps them all together as one thing, but it's more than one. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, that's hard to do if you've got people that keep on bringing them up and up and up over and over and over. And it's hard to forget things which are behind. It was hard, and I can't imagine what Paul, the great lengths that he had to go to try to forget about what he had done in his past life. If Paul said, he said forgetting, that means that he was in a constant state of trying to forget what went on in his past life. That's easy. You know, there's a lot of people that say, okay, I'm going to forget that. I'm just going to put it out of my mind. And that's where they get stagnant. They just forget. And they get paralyzed. And they can't do anymore. There's more that goes into it than forgetting the things which are behind. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, or before. I added the million there. Meaning, I've got to stop looking back. What did Christ say? He says, any man that taketh his hand to a plow and looketh backward is not fit for the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean he ain't good enough. It means it's not fitting that it's not consistent with walking in the kingdom. To walk in the kingdom, we've got to grab a hold of the plow and keep pressing towards the mark, reaching forth so that we can see where the goal is. I used to farm, and my boss was very ticky about me plowing straight. He said, if you plow straight, we'll have straight rows. And if we have straight rows, it'll be easier to harvest it or plow it. It'll be easier to cultivate it. It'll be easier to harvest it. And it'll look good to people as they drive down the road. We want straight paths for our feet, don't we? The paths of Christ are straight. The gate is straight. The path is narrow, and we've got to watch where we're going. But the goal is, or at least the path is, Paul, here's the process. And it is a process that you have to go through in this. It's a process if I cheat and eat cake. It's a process if I sin and it bothers me, or maybe I said something wrong to somebody and hurt their feelings. It's a process of being condemned for what I did and feeling sorry for what I did in my mind and beating myself up over it because of Christ in me, knowing I shouldn't have done it, but I did. And then the process of how to fix it. This is where Paul, this is the process of how to fix it. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. If you just forget about the things or try to forget about the things and don't do anything else, you'll be paralyzed. You've got to reach forth. That means you've got to move forward. Not only do you have to move forward, you've got to press. You know, you could reach forth that and look at the goal, look at the end of the row, look at where you want to be, but if you didn't make any movement towards it, you'll certainly not reach it. Does that make sense? If I made no movement towards trying to get to the goal of that 75-pound mark, I would have never reached it. Do y'all know how you eat an elephant? One spoonful at a time. One spoonful at a time. So, what does that mean? It means something different for me than it does for you. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. He didn't say that I'm going to jump from where I'm at to the goal. He said, I'm going to press, which means I'm going to lean into it. I'm going to put all I've got into that goal, into pressing there. You know, if it was easy, he said, I'm going to jump from here to there. You can't jump. There's no jumping. You'll fall short every time. What does that mean? I think a lot of things that it are talk about this category. Paul says, laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Right? But you've got to lay aside the weight. There's a lot of weights, aren't there? My weight's different than yours. Your weight's different than somebody else's. The sin that does so easily beset me is different than the one that easily besets you. Probably, I think in general, he's talking about the sin of unbelief there. So what does that mean? You know, I was staying with a preacher friend of mine in Memphis. And a couple weeks ago, we got to talking about discouragement. We got talking about some other things. And you know, we got to figuring up how much time is spent in service to God as far as a worship service in a week. You know the time that we're in service to God in church is an hour and a half. I mean, that's including the song service, if you're there for all of it, and if the preacher preaches an hour, which normally isn't that long. But let's say that an hour and a half. You know what percentage of your waking hours that is? In a week, in 7 days, not counting, that's taking out 8 hours for sleep every day. An hour and a half out of your waking hours is 1.68% or something like that. Less than 2% of our time in a week is devoted to God. I mean, that's just at the bare minimum of coming to church. That's not counting the time that we ought to be spent reading His Word, meditating upon His Word, on top of living godly, speaking to one another in our conversation in our daily lives, doing good to other people is service to God. All those things we ought to be adding on to this 1.6-something%. So, if the goal is to be like Christ, how much of our time should be spent in serving our own belly? But again, it's overwhelming, isn't it? So what do? We eat the elephant one bite at a time. You know what that means? If you're not reading the Scriptures during the week, that means every day read for 5 minutes. That's a bite. That's a little bite, I would think. That's a small bite. If it's that you feel convicted in your own mind that you don't visit enough, then I would say visit one person this week. That's a goal. That's an attainable goal. That's one bite, isn't it? And there's also, if you feel convicted that you don't call sick folks enough, make 2 calls a week. It's pretty easy. I mean, we have our phones attached to our ears nowadays. That's pretty easy, isn't it? I mean, that's an attainable goal. That's one bite. That's one spoonful of eating the elephant. If your prayer life is lacking and you know that, then an attainable goal is to pray every morning before you get up out of bed. That's an attainable goal, isn't it? To pray to God just for a minute. If you're not praying, just pray for a minute. If you are praying and you only pray in the morning, pray at night before you go to bed. If you're already doing that and you don't feel like your prayer life is good enough, then pray wherever you're at. Pray in the car going down the road. You don't have to close your eyes in prayer. I pray out loud when I'm driving. See, all these are one bite at a time. And whatever you are doing good, stick with it and add. Apostle Paul says that here. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. You know, he already said he wasn't perfect. So who's he talking about? And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. He's talking about those people that think they're perfect. He's talking to the people that feel like they have arrived. He's talking to the people that kind of think that, well, Paul, you might not have arrived, but I've been there for a long time. Right? He says, God will reveal it to you. If you think, but he didn't, he still didn't let them off the hook. He still said, You mind, you do it. You be thus minded. And then in 16 he said, nevertheless, whereto, that means at the point at which we have already attained, that means whatever we're doing right now, whatever point we've already attained, whether we're visiting or praying or walking godly, we're reading God's Word, we're meditating, whatever that is, whatever point you have already attained to, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. He says, keep going. Keep reaching forth. Keep apprehending. Keep pressing towards the mark. That same rule. And I think minding the same thing means always keeping in your mind that you haven't attained to perfection. Keeping in mind that having the mind that, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not perfect. I haven't fully apprehended Christ. Because what do when we reach a goal? Most of the time, we just say, okay, been there, done that. I'm done with that one. That's something that's marked off my list. I've reached that goal. How many athletes do you know after they retire? Because what's the goal for an athlete? I mean, an athlete, the ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl or to win the World Series or to win the Stanley Cup or to win the Olympics or the gold medal or whatever goal that it is. Their goal is to win that goal. But what happens normally after they win their goal, after they reach their goal? They just get fat, don't they? They stop exercising. They stop working out. They stop doing what it takes to get to the goal, right? Paul says, you're not going to reach this goal. You're not going to be perfectly like Christ. In this life, we're not. Now, we can be better than we are right now. Paul said, I'm pressing towards that goal. I'm pressing towards that goal. Paul said, I haven't attained it. But he would attain it one day. Do you know the day that he attained it? It was when he totally lost his life. It was the day that he died. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But all the time while he was in this body, he pressed towards the mark. And that's what we have to do. Forgetting, reaching, and pressing. I pray that the Lord helps us all to reach forth and to press. I pray the Lord blesses you to walk in the straight gate and the narrow way. I pray that your past problems don't paralyze you. I pray that your assessment of yourself is higher than your mind and that you can say like Paul did, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, because He's the only one that could do that kind of delivering. None of us could deliver ourselves. And press towards the mark. Taking that weight of sin and just laying it aside and keeping your eyes focused on Christ. Remember how you eat an elephant. One spoonful at a time. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Doors of the church are open for reception to members. If you have that desire, you may come and let your wishes be known.